I'd like to ask you, if you would, to open up your Bibles, and I'd like you to open to Micah chapter 6, verse 8. And we're going to be in that passage pretty much exclusively today. So the reason to open maybe is to look down as you think of it and kind of contemplate what it might mean. And maybe to, if you have a kind of Bible that you write in the margins of or underlying things, this might be a verse to do so with. We're actually in the middle of a three-part series coming from this verse. We talked last week about how to act justly. And you may or may not remember what we talked about was the differences in the details. I mean, it's one thing to say, oh, look at that person, they're going through such a hard time. Oh, my goodness, God bless them. And it's another thing to say, what might that feel like? What might that feel like? And when Bobby, who's here from the Keystone Family Alliance, spoke today, she said, think about that. You're 13 years old, and this is what you're going through. Think of the details of that. And the difference, really, a lot of times with what our heart does, with what's going on around us, is whether we're willing to deal with the details. Today, we're talking about the second phrase in this passage, and we'll get to that in just a moment. I want to tell you a story first. I love Abraham Lincoln, and I can't believe that I never heard this story until I read it this week. I can't verify this story. It may or may not be true, but I'm going to read it to you. I'm going to tell it to you anyway, because I love this story. It seems that one evening, President Lincoln was entertaining dinner guests in the White House, and he was serving his favorite beverage. Anyone know what his favorite beverage was? Who knows? Coffee. That's right. It was coffee. And he was a lover of coffee. There's records of how many pounds of coffee the White House went through while he was in the office. He had guests there, naturally, sitting around having dinner with the president. Can you imagine? What would you choose to wear? You might have a tuxedo, something like that. And one of the guests, let me think how to say this. One of the guests was not quite as metropolitan as the rest of them. You understand what I'm saying? And so that guest, he had his coffee, it was hot, and he blew on it. And I didn't know this, but I guess in the late 1800s that wasn't a good thing to do. But then he took his coffee off of the saucer, and he poured the coffee from the cup into the saucer. He lifted his saucer to his lips, and he drank the coffee. Now, let me just say this. I've done some research on this, and 100 years earlier in England, that would have been the way to drink your tea. It was very common for them to pour their tea into their saucer and drink it, and any aristocrat knew that, and that's the way they did it. But in the 1860s in Washington, D.C., that was not the way to drink your coffee. And I'm guessing the room must have just gotten completely silent as they heard the first time he went, you know that sound. Wow. Imagine the awkwardness of that moment. Who let this hayseed into this dinner? You know, if it was an 80s movie, the whole band would have stopped playing and every kid in the cafeteria would have turned and looked at him like, what is wrong with him? Oh my goodness, right? What's going to happen there? Well, it was at that moment that President Lincoln picked up his own coffee cup and poured the coffee from it into his own saucer and lifted his own saucer to his lips and drank coffee. All of the coffee from that evening was drank from Lincoln's saucer. And you know how the story ended, right? Every other guest did the same thing. That must be the way we drink coffee. Look at Lincoln. He's doing it. Now, when I heard that story, I thought, what an incredible act of kindness. What an incredible act of kindness that the president did. And it is a kind of kindness, and think of this, that kind of kindness is only possible to make happen if you have strength, and if you have confidence, and if you have power. Lincoln had those things. This passage tells us that God wants us to love kindness. He wants us to be lovers of kindness. In Micah 6:8, you might not read that at first, but listen as I read it to you. It says, he has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Now, someone might be looking at that and saying, where's the kindness in that passage? I don't see the kindness there. Well, hang around. In order to see the kindness and understand the kindness here, you have to understand the meaning of the word mercy. It says to love mercy. And the Hebrew word that is used there is hesed, Other people say it chesed or chesed. I say it the way it's spelled, just like I don't call Paris Paris. I call it Paris. And I don't call Dubois Dubois because I'm a redneck Appalachian dude. I drink my coffee from my saucer when I want to. I call chesed hesed, okay? And the meaning of hesed is really complex. It is a complex word translated in the passage we just looked at, in the translation we looked at, as mercy, but it's much more than mercy. In fact, my favorite resource on biblical languages places the word kindness as the first definition of hesed, the primary definition of hesed. Hesed is kindness, but there's more. Scholars tell us that hesed can involve loving kindness and mercy and goodness and faithfulness and love and acts of kindness. Hesed is a pretty important word. And if you read the English Standard version of the Bible, the ESV, it's a translation that sometimes it sacrifices some of the readability for the sake of precision. It reads this way. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. We're to love kindness, hesed. Now, it kind of makes sense when you realize that hesed is fundamental to God's nature. The church I grew up in had hymnals with responsive readings in the back of them. And so quite frequently, Reverend Henkel would say, turn to number 681 in the hymnal, and we're going to read responsively from number 681. Anybody else grow up with that? I want to see your hands. Okay, good. About half of us. Wow. That's really cool. The readings were generally from the King James Version of Scripture, and they were responsive, which meant that the leader read the first part, and then the congregation read in unison the second part. Wouldn't it be cool if we could do that this morning? Well, you know, as luck would have it, we can. How about that, right? Yeah. We're going to do that this morning. Stand up if you would, please. Okay? All right. Now, for some of you that are rookies in this, I'm going to read the italicized left words on the left, and you're going to read the italicized words on the right afterward. Now, let me ask you something. In the back, can you see this? Because I can make it bigger. If you need it to be bigger, just move up 10 rows. I got you covered, okay? And by the way, look at the phrase you're going to read on this first one. It's, his steadfast love endures forever. Steadfast love, that is hesed. His steadfast love endures forever. Okay, you ready? I'll begin. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. To him who alone does great wonders. To him who by understanding made the heaven. To him who spread out the earth above the waters. To him who made the great lights. The sun to rule over the day. And the moon and stars to rule over the night. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. That's kind of cool, huh? That's kind of fun. You know, you heard that phrase again and again and again. That was 9 verses. In my childhood, we would have done all 25. I feel sure that we would have. And every one of them would end with, for his mercy endureth forever, or his love endures forever, the ESV, his steadfast love endures forever. And you think to yourself, the psalmist who wrote those words in Psalm 136, as he penned that down there, and the Spirit was inspiring him, breathing those words, so to speak, it's almost like he wants you to know his hesed is important. You say it again and again and again. Every other line reminds you of it. And that's because hesed is indeed fundamental to God's nature. And in a verse we read earlier, Micah 6:8, you see that we're required to love Hesed. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and love kindness? And if you think about it, it's easy to love Hesed. You have a project at work. It's due the first of the month. It was assigned to you weeks ago, but you kind of forgot about it. You kind of delayed and you kind of put it off. And now it's due today. And you don't have it. Would it be okay if I bring that in Monday? That project's almost done. You lie. It's almost done. And can I bring it in Monday? Didn't you love it when the school teacher said, I'll give you a grace period. Bring it in Monday. You know what he or she is saying. I'll give you Hesed. Bring it in on Monday. You didn't earn that. It's a grace thing. It's an act of kindness. And I'm required to love Hesed. I can do that. I will definitely. This might be the easiest commandment that I've ever come across, God. To love kindness? I love kindness. We love it so much that we're going to take communion today. And communion is really a celebration of God's Hesed. It's a celebration of God's Hesed. It's a celebration of his loving kindness, his goodness. Yeah, we love Hesed. But what about bestowing Hesed on another? And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness? I mean, I'm going to be the first to admit, it's hard to love Hesed when you're the one who's required to show it to someone else. Maybe somebody owes you. They've publicly embarrassed you and humiliated you, and you have to show them kindness? Maybe they said something bad about you, and I'm supposed to show them mercy? Maybe they've left you out of a fun thing that they know you love. In fact, it was your idea to do it in the first place, and now they're going. There's a carload of them, and there's an empty seat, and they didn't even tell you about it, and I'm supposed to show them faithfulness? Maybe they hurt you in deep ways. Ways that you struggle with. And I'm supposed to show them goodness. Do you find Hesed a little more difficult to love when you're the one who's supposed to dish it out? Do you find it difficult to show kindness, mercy, and love to those who just really annoy you and have hurt you? I do. But that is what God is looking for. People who will do that. The Hebrew word where it says, this is what the Lord requires of you, the root of that Hebrew word says, this is what he's looking for. This is what he is seeking. This is what he wants to see in you and from you. He wants you to exhibit mercy and loving kindness and grace. Hesed. He wants that from us. I think that's because Hesed is precious. When I think of the word precious, I think of my grandchildren. They're precious. I think of those little precious moments cards that used to cost too much money. Do they still make those? I don't know. Something is wrong with my brain because when I think of the word precious, I think of kittens. And I don't understand why that works because we all know they grow into be cats and there's nothing. I'll stop now. I'm just funning. You know that, right? When I say Hesed is precious, I mean it's like a precious metal. Like gold, like platinum. It's like a jewel, like a pearl. You know, the chances of finding a pearl are slim to none. You can stand at the ocean almost all your life and not come up with one. They're so precious and rare. A diamond. Hesed is that way. You don't find Hesed just anywhere. It's precious. And Hesed, it actually makes the world a better place. After he'd worked in an office for years, a friend of mine named Jim retired. Some of you know Jim. He had worked there for a number of years, and he was one of the kindest, one of the most good, faithful, loving, merciful men I've ever known. He had a life that was marked by Hesed, and to this day is the same man. When he retired and he moved away, I'm sure in my mind I thought, I miss him. I'll bet a lot of people miss him. And so when I would see someone who worked in that office, I would say, oh, did you work with Jim? And they would say, oh yeah, Jim. And I'd say, do you miss him? And responses varied, but in general, the kind of thing that you would hear is, that place is not the same since Jim's gone. It's just not the same. It's still a good place to be. But he made it a better place to work. Chesed. It makes the world a better place. And when it is genuine, chesed increases your lovability. I like to fish. I don't fish like I used to, but I like to fish. I can tell you someone I do not want to fish with, Adolf Hitler. I don't think he had much chesed, and therefore he's not the most lovable person I can imagine fishing with, right? Tyrants are not lovable. Tyrants do not have chesed. When you love chesed, when you have it, you become lovable. Think for a minute about Fred Rogers. I mean, we like to make fun of him, right? Because he was so gentle. And that's okay. We're not his target audience, you know. Kids were. And kids love Mr. Rogers. Even though he says, take off your outdoor shoes, take them off now that you're in the house. He does it with such chesed, such kindness, such grace, such gentleness. I would go fishing with Mr. Rogers. He probably would make me use a hook without a barb, but I'd still go fishing with Mr. Rogers. When you're gracious, kind, and loving, people love being with you. In my opinion, one of the most important things about chesed is it multiplies your influence for Christ. I live for the express purpose of influencing others for Christ. I live for the express purpose of influencing others for Christ. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That's why a lot of us live, for that express purpose. In fact, in my mind, anything shy of this is a vapor, a chasing after the wind. You may feel similar. You may feel, yeah, me too. But you know, Pastor Steve, I watch you standing up front and you speak so naturally. And when I get up front, I get my tang all tangled up. And when I try to talk to someone at work about Jesus, God, you get, yeah, and I can't put my sentences together. I just don't have that ability. Let me say this. If you love chesed, it will change the way you relate to people. And when they see you relating to them and to others with genuine, you can't fake it, with genuine chesed, grace, mercy, love, compassion, faithfulness. When they see those things in you, you will notice doors opening, doors of conversation that weren't there before, opening up, and you will notice that it's really quite natural to talk about where that chesed comes from and to talk about the grace of God in Christ Jesus. It will feel natural to speak when chesed is genuine. Loving kindness, graciousness, mercy. They open doors, probably like nothing else. As we come to communion today, there's something I want to be very clear of. Clear of? Nah. Clear about. Let me try that sentence again. Sometimes I get my tang all tangled up. As we come to communion today, there's something I want to be very clear about. And that is, where does chesed come from, and where is the power of chesed? I mean, if you're Abe Lincoln, you got the power. You're the president of the United States. You can drink your coffee out of that saucer, and no one's going to say, what is wrong with that hayseed? And they're going to say, that must be the way you should drink coffee. And even if it's not, I'm going to do what he's going to do because he has that influence and that power. But we're not president. Where do we get it? And I want to say to you, it does not come from inside you. The kind of grace and loving kindness and faithfulness and goodness that God desires in us is not something we can muster up. It doesn't work that way. It is something that comes because of Christ. in us. The power of chesed comes from your experience of receiving chesed. Do you hear that? All of us know people who really struggle with chesed. They struggle to show forgiveness. They keep trying over and over and over again. They struggle to be merciful. They want their pound of flesh. They struggle with kindness. They're just mean. They struggle with steadfast love. Chesed. And often I believe the people who struggle with that the most regularly, not always, but often, are ones who have never really experienced it from God. The only way really to know what chesed is to have found it yourself. And when you find it yourself, you like the taste of it. It's really good. And it's abundant, so you don't have to hoard it. And so you begin to share it. It is a great sorrow and honestly a tragedy when a life is marked by an absence of experience of God's grace. If you look to the cross and you look to Christ for forgiveness, grace, and mercy, chesed, then you experience it. And if you've never done that, do it now. I mean, you can right now, in these freshly cleaned black chairs that you haven't spilled any coffee on just yet, right now as you're sitting there, you can say, God, I need your chesed, because there's stuff in my life of which I'm ashamed, and I just know it's off. And I'd love it if you would show me your kindness and forgiveness and your grace. And he will do that. He will pour out his chesed. Because his chesed, God's chesed, is freely available. Shakespeare was right. Man, it makes me so sad. Rusty, George, it makes me so sad that people don't go to see Shakespeare anymore. How many have ever seen a live performance of any William Shakespeare? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Oh my goodness, there's no hope for humankind. Only 10 of us, right? I can remember when Laurel and I were in our first church at the University of Pittsburgh. That's the problem. You're at Penn State. They just have TikTok. It's the University of Pittsburgh. That was fun right there, boy. I remember we were at our first church. We're at the University of Pittsburgh. There's a branch campus there, and they brought in a troupe to do Romeo and Juliet. Do you remember that, Laurel? It was so cool. And I've been to other presentations as well, in high school and so on. Man, Shakespeare was absolutely brilliant. Go home today and watch The Merchant of Venice and get your pound of flesh. No, don't get your pound of flesh. The man who is demanding the pound of flesh in The Merchant of Venice, he hears a speech by an individual named Portia. She is named after the German sports car. You tracking with me there? Listen to what she said. I'm going to read Shakespeare. It's only 4 lines. It won't hurt you. Listen to what she says. Remember what we're talking about. We're saying chesed is freely available. Chesed is freely available. You ask God for it, and he gives it to you. Listen to her. The quality of mercy is not strained. It droppeth as a gentle rain from heaven upon the place beneath. It is an attribute of God himself. Shakespeare, he knew what he was talking about. Now, I want to tell you, you need to come and watch this now, because the direction our society is going in, it'll be banned before this afternoon, right? It is such good stuff, but not near as good as chesed. Chesed, grace, loving kindness. When you begin to understand that you've received this, then you have a sense of security and well-being that allows you to share it with people that you never thought you would have shared it with before. You get this power from chesed that comes from your experience of receiving chesed, so that you can suddenly forgive wrongs done against you and never have to deal with them and think about them and confront them again. And you can love when it's hard to love. And you can show goodness to the very face of evil. And you can show mercy to those who have never had a taste for mercy in their lives. to find the power of chesed in your life, tap into the power of Christ lavished upon you. The power of chesed comes from your experience receiving chesed, and it comes from your confidence in Christ's chesed. You know, I feel like sometimes people, they come to Christ and they get their sins forgiven, they get saved by grace through faith, and then they move forward. Ah, foolish Galatians. They move forward like, okay, now I gotta keep these, I better do this or God's gonna be mad, and do that or God's gonna be mad. God doesn't really like me. He saved me, but now I owe him and he's gonna be ticked off if I don't live a certain way. That kind of accusation comes, it comes from the enemy. You're not gonna have any power of chesed if you do not have confidence in Christ has said for you in your everyday living. One of my favorite songs has these words in it. I didn't used to be able to read these words without crying, but I did well this morning in the first service. I'm feeling kind of strong. I'll do it today. Listen to it. I was doing well, but I stopped. Here we go. Ready? When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there who made an end to all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my soul, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. Whew. That's not just the day you're saved. That's every stinking day of your life as you walk with Christ. That the chesed, the grace, is constantly being poured upon you. Showers of blessing, so to speak. Do you ever wonder why for 2,000 years we've been writing words like that and we keep singing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound? Why is it that we keep bringing that up? Here's why. Because it is tragic if we forget it. And we are powerless if we do not lean into it. When we forget about chesed, we lose the power to love chesed and to show chesed to others. Even communion, the communion service. Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. Here's what he's not saying. He's not saying, look, I'm going to die, go into the grave, I'm going to come out on the third day, hang around with you guys a little while. I'm going to go to heaven and I don't want you to forget about me. So do that so you can not forget about me. It has nothing to do with his security and everything to do with yours. You do this to remember his chesed that has been delivered into your life and is poured over your being constantly. The chesed. The power of it. It doesn't come from you making up your mind. It comes from your confidence in Christ's grace. Simply put, it comes from your abiding in chesed. When I abide in him, he says, if you remain in me, abide in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, it will be given you. He's not talking about getting that four-wheeler you want or whatever. We ask whatever you wish. He's talking about getting what you love. And what he's asking you to love is chesed. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, you will have chesed poured over you in beautiful ways. Well, how do I remain in him, Steve? It's a good question. I'm glad you asked. You remain in him by connecting with him through his word. These might help. How do I remain in him, Steve? You remain in him by engaging with other believers. There's a Wednesday night and a Thursday morning ladies group. There's men's groups at Kermansville Eyes. Talk to me about the men's groups and I'll plug you in if I can. And right here, you're doing it right now. You're connecting with other believers. This is how you abide in him. You speak to him in prayer. You talk to him about what's going on in your life. You don't just have a list that you go through. Lists can be good. We have a list on the back of our bulletin every Sunday. But you talk to him about your heart and the things going on there and the things that are troubling you. And you listen as his spirit speaks to you. You see, when you abide in him, you find a power to live a life of chesed. So you have to pity my wife for a lot of reasons, all of which center on the person she chose to marry. You understand, we both live in the same house so far. And we both sit in the same study. And she literally spends hours at her computer doing work. And I spend hours at my computer doing work. And so when I read the Abe Lincoln story, right, about the coffee out of the saucer, I walked over beside her, and I do this all the time. You know, I'm over there beside her, and she's working on something. Just a minute. Yes, dear. Okay. And I look at her, and I say, I want to tell you this Abe Lincoln story. And so I tell her that story. Lincoln took the coffee, poured it into his own saucer, and lifted a saucer to his lips. And he finished that cup by pouring it into the saucer. And Laurel just got this kind of faraway look in her eyes and said, he was such a great man, you know? We love chesed when we see it poured out. I want to suggest to you that when you pour it out, you might find you love it even more. That there is an exhilaration, a joy that comes by pouring out chesed. I watched a video this week with I can't think of his name. He wrote the book Start With Why. Steven Snezek, is that his name? I can't think of it. Anybody know? Simon Sinek. Say it again.
Simon Sinek.
Simon Sinek, yeah, or Sinek, right? So he was speaking on this YouTube video I was watching. That's what I do. I just watch YouTube videos, and then I'm going to start lip syncing to them pretty soon. And Simon, he said in this video, he said he's walking along through New York City, and somebody has a backpack on, and they drop something out of their backpack. They don't know they did. And so he goes, he scoops up, says, hey, this dropped out of your backpack. And he said, that releases something in your brain that brings you pleasure when somebody does a nice thing like that, a kindness for you. When you receive a kindness, you get some pleasure. And so the guy's like, wow, it's New York City. We don't do that here. That's so kind of you. Thank you. And so his brain felt good, and his heart felt good, Simon says. And Simon says, and you know what? So did mine. And I think Simon's felt better than his did, depending on what he dropped, I guess, right? And then Simon says, and then I'm walking like half a block later, and a guy says, hey, I saw what you did back there. That was really cool. And it made his heart feel good. Do you see the power of chesed, of grace, loving kindness, care for people? It's an incredibly powerful